السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال ربنا العزيز في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء، وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض، كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال. صدق الله العلي العظيم. This life is an opportunity for us. Nothing but an opportunity for us to produce and to contribute. Every hour, every day, every week is an opportunity that we should not miss. An opportunity to build this life and the hereafter, and to prepare ourselves before it is too late, to prepare ourselves for the departure, so our departure from this life would be a peaceful one, a departure without regret, a departure without pain, without anguish. Not a departure where Quran says, أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله. God says in the Quran that the soul, when you don't do good, at the time of death, you say, wow, I wish, woe to me, I wish I have done something for this hour, for this time, for this departure. At that time, there is no help. There is no recovery. At that time, it's too late. This is the time. This is the time where we have to wake up and take this life serious. Take this life serious. And think a little bit about our future. About our departure. We are not getting younger, my friends. We are not getting younger. And we are not staying longer in this life. Every day that passes by dismantles part of us. Every day sends us a message at the time of sunset, when the sun sets, that this day is over and you are moving to your destiny. So let's think of the production, and nothing but production. I love this man who told me the other day, he said, I am 70 years old. I have a few number left, a few days left in my life. And I want to invest these days. I don't want to lose them. I don't have much time to waste. This is true not just for someone who's in his 80 and 70. It is also true for someone who's 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. This is true for all of us. And therefore, one of the things that we can do for our hereafter, the Akhirah, is to build good relationships, good friendships, based number one on ikhlas. We become true to the people. The zahir and the batin becomes the same. The inside and the outside, it's the same. It's the same. We don't have two faces, double-faced. One face, one tongue. Whatever is in my heart should be on my tongue. Whatever in my thinking and my brain and my head should be reflected on my deeds and my actions. Ikhlas. Ikhlas is very important. Ikhlas is the quality of the Anbiya, the prophets, the imams, the great people. Ikhlas is the condition, an important condition for the acceptance of our deeds. Innama, only, innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqin. God only accepts the work and the deeds of those who are sincere, those who have ikhlas. Number one, ikhlas. If so far we did not have ikhlas, from now on, let's do things only for God. Only for the recognition of God, not the recognition of the people. People most of the time do not do justice to us. So why should we care about their attention and their recognition and their praise and their comments and their compliments? Let's think about someone who does justice to us. Let's think about someone who says in the Quran, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Someone that nothing can escape his attention, whether good or bad. And he says, I credit your account. Even if your deed is very humble and very small in your eyes, but still I will credit it into your account. I don't neglect it. Let's take care of him. Let our work be for ikhlas, not for personal interests. Those who work for personal interests, at the end they're going to be losers. And those who work for the public interests, at the end they're going to be winners. مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى يَنْمُ. Whatever you dedicate for God, for public interests, it's going to grow. It's going to move forward. So let's build relationships based on ikhlas, based on hope, compassion, based on forgiveness. Allah says in Surah Ash-Shura, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. Naturally, the recompense of an evil act is an evil act. This is natural. When someone does bad to you, you do bad to him. But you as a Muslim don't do bad to him. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If someone does evil to you, don't do evil to him. Don't. Forgive, afa, pardon. Whoever pardons his enemy, the one who did injustice to him, وَأَصْلَحْ, and he brings the issue to a peaceful ending, إِصْلَاح, reforms, فَأَجْرُهُ, his recompense and his reward is going to be upon God. God says, I recompense you. I'll take care of this. I'll make you happy. I'll give you compensation for this. And we need God's compensation. This is how our relationship should be. This is how our relationship should be. Not that if he does good to me, I do good to him. If he does bad to me, I do. No, this is not good. This is not the akhlaq, the character of a believer. A believer does good to those who do good or do bad. Because we we have strong belief that every action has a reaction. A good action has a good reaction. And the evil action, it will have an evil reaction. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And therefore, our relationship should be based on helping others, saving others, guiding others, being mentors and teachers and examples to others. This is how we grow. When you always think of yourself, when you leave your house in the morning, I'm a teacher. I'm a brother. I'm a mentor. I'm a guide. I'm a leader. In my community, I'm a leader. In my akhlaq, maybe I don't have much money, but I can change people's life through my goodness. Today, I received an email from an American lady who works here somewhere. She says, I'm your neighbor in the same complex. She said, I don't have enough money to contribute to your center, but I'm not a Muslim, but let it be known to you and your community, I am with you 100%. I support the Muslims in America. This is a good, you know, a short email that brings so much change into your life. Makes you happy. Makes you feel that you are not alone. Even non-Muslims, they appreciate you. They say, this is your home, don't worry. This is an act of goodness. This is what we have to learn. This is what we have to do to others. Each and every person of us, my friends, we own something very precious and very great. Believe me. That thing, that asset is called heart. Qalb. Qalb. You can embrace people with your qalb, with your understanding, with your humility. Use your qalb. Use your heart in acts of goodness, in acts of compassion, in acts of mercy and forgiveness and understanding. Use it. Don't use it. Don't dedicate this heart for evil things. Don't damage your heart. Do not pollute your heart. Do not contaminate your heart with acts of evil. Use the heart in the best way. God has given us this heart to make the best of it. And the best of it, when you embrace others, when you have a bigger heart, when your heart transcends your neighborhood, your race, your color, your language, even your religion, and you reach out to others. You reach out to them. Use this heart for this mission. This is a sacred mission. Your heart becomes the healthiest, believe me. Such heart is the most powerful, the most healthy, the most functioning heart. When we use it for goodness, do not make ourselves sick with bad thoughts, with suspicion about others, with disrespecting others, demonizing others. These are acts of sickness. It comes back and it haunts back the perpetrator himself first. He becomes sick. He becomes suspicious. And when someone is suspicious about others, one day he becomes suspicious of his wife and his family, and one day he becomes suspicious of his own self. Because suspicion and these sickness, they know no boundaries. They don't have any boundaries. In Ahsantum, this is the Quran. This is a formidable, powerful law, divine law in the Quran. In Ahsantum, Ahsantum li anfusikum. Wa in asattum, falaha. When you are suspicious about others, you hurt them, this hurt is going to haunt you down. It will come back at you. You will be the target and the victim of your own hate and your own suspicion. Therefore, plenty of narrations and hadith in our religion that the best act after worshipping God and believing in God is to do goodness and wholesomeness, khair, khair, to the community around us, to the people around us, to those neighbors, without any discrimination, to be an agent of goodness in your society. تنفيس الكرب, relieving people from their pain, from their anguish. There is so much pain in the society, in the community. And the pain is on the rise day by day. Be the agent to remove this, to lessen this at least. I cannot say to remove it completely, but to reduce it in your community. I love this hadith and I believe in it. كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. God is going to be on your side as long as you are on the side of your brethren in the society. God says, take care of people's affairs. You may ask him, God, how about my affairs? Who's going to solve my problems? God says, not people. I'm going to solve your problems. I myself, I'm going to stand on your side. And move forward and don't worry. As long as you are helping people, don't worry. No one can hurt you. من أتاه أخوه المسلم فأكرمه. If your brother comes to you and you honor him or her, honor them. You honor them. You respect them. You solve their problems. You bring them relief. فكأنما أكرم الله سبحانه وتعالى. As if you have honored and respected God. Today, we have institutions to maintain, to fix and maintain metals in the society. When your car is broken, there is a mechanic shop. They maintain your car. Your house is broken, there are companies that come and fix your heart. They fix the materials and they fix the metals, but we need an institution to fix the hearts, the broken hearts. Where do you take the broken hearts? You take them to these places. Religious institutions, temples, mosques, places of worship. These places are designated to heal the broken hearts. And therefore we have to contribute. We have to make sure that the Islamic Center and the Masjid is a place to fix the broken hearts, to heal them, to bring them relief, to bring them happiness, to bring them hope. This is how the masjid should be. This is how the place of religion, the institution, religious institutions should be. They should be spiritual shelters. We have sometimes physical shelter, a house for battered women, for orphans, for this, for that. This place and the places like this one are spiritual shelters to shield people against confusion, against loneliness, against fear, anxiety. This should be the function of the masjid. If the masjid cannot provide you this, then there is something wrong with the masjid. And for the masjid to heal, people who come there, they have to have this intention. This intention that today I must heal because tomorrow maybe I need this healing. I need this help. We must get together to make these places spiritual shelters because we all need spiritual shelters. We must work together. These things remain. Allah says, فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ the scum فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً going to go away. وَأَمَّا but as for what is going to benefit people, يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ remains in the ground, does not go away. Your ihsan stays there, does not go away. Your wholesomeness, your goodness, your help, saving someone, is not going to go away. فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Hence, God provides the parables. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. روي عن سيدنا ومولانا الإمام أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: وكونا للظالم خصما وللمظلوم عونا. One of the most important advice and legacy that Amir al-Mu'mineen left behind him hours before his departure. This is his wasiyah, his will to his family, to his children. Hours before his departure. وكونا للظالم خصما. Be always to the antagonists, be an enemy. Don't stand with him. Oppose him. Be in opposition to him. وللمظلومي, the oppressor, be antagonist, an antagonist to the oppressor, and to the oppressed, be an aid, a help, a supporter. And this is not confined to a specific geographic area or a specific time or race. This is a universal, global instruction. Wherever you move in the land, wherever you live, wherever you go, always be an antagonist to the oppressor. And be of an aid and help and support to the oppressed, to the victims. Wherever you go, it has no boundaries. Sometimes we Muslims, we defend someone who share religion with me. If he's Muslim, I defend him. If he's Shia, I defend him. If he's not, I don't care about him. This is wrong. Amir al-Mu'mineen did not say just defend the Muslim oppressed. Anyone, any mazloom, anywhere. And the zalim, even if the zalim is Muslim, you have to oppose him. Not only when he's non-Muslim, we yell at him. But when he is Muslim, one of us, we respect him. We have to be universal. We have to be just in implementing this rule and this law. And we have to teach, my friends, this is the essence of our religion. Our religion stands with the oppressed. Even if we don't know them, even if we don't speak their language. And our religion instructs us to fight those who are unjust, even they are our fathers and mothers and brothers and children. And we have to pass this to our young generation. We have to teach them to uphold to this principle. Whenever they see injustice, big or small, they don't remain silent. Because when you see injustice and corruption, someone being abused with no right, and you walk away, the hadith says you share with him, with that guilty person, with the criminal, you share a portion of his sin and his injustice. So if you don't want to share with him, then you have to say something, you have to do something. Being silent is not fair. Being neutral, well, I don't interfere in this business because those people are not related to me. This is not my race. This is not my culture. This guy is not Muslim. This guy is not believer. When you keep saying this, putting people in categories and looking at yourself being higher than them, This is the beginning of corruption. This is actually the beginning of mental illness. We have to find, see ourselves equal with others. And we have to help them. He's a human being, he deserves help. I don't care whether he believes in God or he does not believe in God. Yes, I wish that he believes in God. But if he does not believe in God, this is his problem. I have to stand with him. I have to support him. And therefore, this past week, since a Friday when I was here with you, and at the same time that we were standing here, someone by the name of Donald Trump was sitting on his desk in the White House and signing several executive orders. Exactly at the same time when we're doing Salatul Jummah. It was 4 p.m. in Washington, D.C. And we saw the reaction of many people. Hundreds of thousands of white Americans, Christians, Jews, atheists, whatever, they took to the streets, to the airports. The main airports in America was packed with the protesters who said no to the Muslim ban, who received immigrants and others who welcomed Muslims into this country. And they said no for discrimination, no for bigotry, no for racism. And many of them, I heard them saying, and this is what I heard the mayor of Los Angeles 2 days ago, on Wednesday. I was standing next to him at his press conference in Los Angeles when he said an attack on Muslims is considered an attack on all of us. All of us. This is someone who's Catholic. He says this. And many of the city council members who they said we are Jews, one of them said I'm Armenian, they said we stand with the Muslims. We stand with you, shoulder to shoulder. We defend your rights. You are the citizens of this country. We treat you with equality. It was a spectacular show of unity, support and solidarity with the Muslim community. And I felt I'm proud that Allah is on our side and the good people in this city. We are not alone. Why should you feel afraid when you find good people in this city? People who have good spirit, people who, the least I can say about them, they are true human beings, true insan. They are standing with you. They say we support you. Donald Trump, he worked very hard to keep Islam away from America. But on Saturday and Sunday, most of the main airports in the nation was packed with people who did their prayers. Salat, Jama'ah. This is how he kept Islam out of America. People have conscience. People have hearts. We are safe, don't worry. But you have to do something about it too. We don't wait for others to do the work for us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. This is an incentive for us to work harder and harder. I said this last Friday and I keep saying this every Friday here. I promise you, you will hear this sentence from me. Civic engagement is ibadah, a religious duty today in America. Under these circumstances, this is our jihad. Jihad during the time of the Prophet is to carry the shield and the sword and go to the battlefield. Today the Prophet tells you, no sword, no gun, no shield. I want you to use your mouth, your tongue, your pen, your speech. The quality of bayan that you have. Speak to your senator, speak to your congressman, speak to the press, speak to your neighbors, go to the local school. Speak to people around you. Yesterday I had the Bishop of Orange County, very humble man. He was sitting here in my office and he brought us this gift, which I really cherish. This is, it could be, I don't know, $3, $4 in the market. But for me, today, the spiritual value of this, millions of dollars. Because he said, Imam, I read prayers on this before I brought it to you. I did many prayers on this for the Muslim protection. I asked God, the Lord, to protect the Muslims. He brought this yesterday with him. This is an act of goodness. This is an act that I really, really cherish and appreciate and love. And I take it to my heart. We have to do the same. When people are in trouble, we have to stand with them. Because Islam teaches me, Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail. Islam says you are different races, different colors, but you are the same. You are the children of God, created by God. You are humans. The first title that we have, before I call myself Iraqi or Muslim or Shia or American, I am a human. I'm a human. I share a humanity. I share a humanity with the rest of mankind. And last night, many of you were here. The chief of police of Costa Mesa was here. They are all on our side, reaching out to us, and we must reach out to them. The time of doing nothing, just coming to America to work and earn money, that time is over for us. We have to earn respect and our rights. This is more important than money. You might get money, but you don't have respect. You have no rights. They can shut you down. You have to earn respect. You have to say, I'm a citizen. You have to defend your rights. You have to defend your rights. So you have to be engaged. I said yesterday to many of you, maybe we, the old generation, we don't know how to do things. But believe me, your children, they know it very well. They teach them at school how to approach the senators, how to approach the law enforcement, how to approach the civic leaders, political leaders. Last night, a lady from our community, she wrote a very basic letter to the president. And I wish the president would read this letter, telling him that you care about business. My family, they created thousands of businesses in this country, supported America economically. We are not criminals. Islam is not a bad religion. We have to say, at the time of a crisis, the wazifa, the task, the duty of the citizens is to give nasiha to the leader, to the president, to the political leader. We have to speak. Then whether it works or it does not, we leave it for God. But our duty is to say, is to speak out. Here we don't live in a country where they shut our mouths. They encourage us, speak your mind. Freedom of speech. Communities who came before us, the Catholics, the Mormon, the Jews, the African Americans and others, and the Japanese American, they faced the same situation, same challenges. They did not say, let's pack and go back home. They didn't say this. They resisted bigotry and racism. And believe me, bigotry and racism would remain in America till the day of judgment. Because always, in any country, in any society, there are good people and bad people. Always. Always. Until the day of judgment. We have to resist and we have to work harder, inshallah. One thing I ask our sisters first, and our brothers second. I know every week, every weekend, you go to parties, you go to azima, walima, you know, relatives invite you, there is a baby shower, there is wedding, there is, you know, whatever, birthday party. We do have these things, which is good. This is very good. But beside these baby showers and birthday parties, say I also, 1 hour, 2 hours of a week, my week, I give it to civic engagement. When I hear about a session about civic engagement, I go to it. I don't neglect that. Because your life is changing in America, I am telling you. Our life, the life of the Muslims, is changing in this country. It's going to change. And we have to stand for our rights. We have to do something. We don't put the load on God. We tell him, God, you take care of us. God says, okay. The same thing was said by Bani Israel. Bani Israel in diaspora in Sinai desert, they said, God, you take care of this. We want to sit and eat. We don't have time. اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هاهنا قاعدون. We sit here in the desert. Moses, you go with your Lord and you fight the tyrant. God said, okay. Then in return, I'm telling you, you're going to stay in this desert for 40 years in diaspora. And this is what happened to them. Why 40 years? Because this useless old generation who's lazy, who's irresponsible, has to perish first. Another generation comes up, which is going to ask for their rights. And this is what happened. If we tell God, إِنَّا هَهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ, God is not going to help us. We have to tell him, we come and we fight. Yes, you give us help. And Allah says, when you go move forward, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. God support and defend those who take life serious and they fight for their rights. This coming Thursday, we are commemorating the martyrdom of the greatest lady of mankind, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salatu wassalam, Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alam. And we're going to speak about women's rights and the empowerment of our women here. I mentioned some of it last night because of the celebration of Sayyida Zainab, and I'm going to continue on that on Thursday. So please do come and participate at 7 p.m. inshallah. And tonight also our youth, the young generation, who we should support them because they are the front soldiers of Islam in this country, the front fighters who defend their religion and their integrity and their presence in this country. They are going to have a meeting at 7 p.m. So encourage your young ones to come and participate. And tomorrow at Masjid Ahlul Bayt, it is the first anniversary of the departure of Dr. Sayyid Ridha al-Hajjar. It's going to be there at 7 p.m. inshallah. I ask you to recite Amman Yujib al-Muftar with me for an honorable lady. Many of you know her. She helped and served this center for many, many years. And with others who asked us to pray for them. So please raise your hand and recite with me this dua. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su' Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su' Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su' أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله اللهم اكشف عن المغمومين اللهم داوي مرضانا من عليهم بالشفاء والعافية اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا ووحد بين قلوبنا وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.